97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you are with us on this Wednesday morning, day two of early voting. And the lines were long in some areas yesterday. I had lots of reports from around St. Louis County, and we got those results in. You probably heard Kim reporting on it all morning. Many of the satellite locations had in excess of 1,000 people show up. The overall total was, what, 15?
Just over 15,000
in St. Louis County yesterday, and then they've had at least 15,000 vote by absentee mail so far, and another 7,000 or 8,000 who voted absentee
with an excuse
in person.
Right.
So the numbers are adding up in St. Louis County. We also got some reports from St. Charles County. I did personally from a neighbor who went up there to the headquarters and was going to vote and left because she felt the line was too long. She's going to try to go back later this week. So I reached out this morning to Kurt Barr, head of the St. Charles County Election Authority, and I've got him on the phone this morning. And Kurt, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark, for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this on short notice. I just wanted to get an update from you on, I know the St. Charles County has two locations where people can early vote, correct?
We do. The main office at Highway 79 and Interstate 70 has always been the absentee voting location. And for these 2 weeks of voting early, we have a satellite location at Element Church, which is near 70 and Highway 64.
Was there talk of having more than just those two locations? Because it seems like it may have been necessary with the amount of people interested in voting early.
Well, yesterday was the first time in the last 2 years that we saw this type of turnout for early voting. The satellite location that we've used for the last 2 years has been underutilized until yesterday. So we'll look at that in future elections if more spots are open. But I think the biggest issue was just the parking issue that we had at the Election Authority location yesterday.
Okay.
And so there was two big issues there. The first is we share a parking lot space with the county municipal court, and they had a docket yesterday. So some of that parking wasn't used by voters, but was used by people going to pay their tickets and their fines. That isn't going to be a problem for the rest of the next 2 weeks. They're not going to have another docket. So that's going to help us out a lot with our parking situation. And the other issue was how we were handling curbside voting. I found out that a lot of people were stopping right in the entrance of my parking lot trying to get a curbside parking spot. And so we are adding more spots. We're moving where those spots are. And then we're going to have somebody out in the parking lot trying to direct traffic so that we don't have a repeat of what happened yesterday. So that we don't want voters to drive by, say the line's too long, and then not vote. We want them to know that they are welcome to come to the Election Authority office and to get in. Because as soon as somebody got in line, they had a ballot within 30 minutes. We were able to process people very quickly throughout the day.
I also heard from someone that there was a ramp closed on 79. So once you went to vote and you tried to get back south on 79, you ended up having to go all the way down 70 to the next exit and turn around. Do you know if that's going to be the case over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, MoDOT decided that doing construction in front of the Election Authority office right before a presidential election was a good idea. So to leave our office, voters have to do a detour. They can either go up Highway 79 and then do a U-turn at the very first exit, which isn't that far away. It's not a difficult thing to do. Or they have to take the service road and go to the next exit on Interstate 70 to get onto the highway. So it is a small detour. It adds a couple minutes to somebody's drive once they leave, but it was not a reason for, you know, increased lines. But yeah, I tried to get MoDOT to hold on that construction, but you know, they do what they want to do, and you know, eventually it'll be nice, but that's not going to be done until after the election is over, unfortunately.
Yeah. St. Charles County Elections Director Kurt Barr giving us a few minutes this morning to talk about what's going on out there. You said it, people had a ballot in their hand in about 30 minutes. On average, Kurt, how long would you say it was taking them to fill out that ballot? When I counted, it looks like we've got about 33, 34 things to decide on in St. Charles County.
Yeah, that's about right. Depending on where you live, there's a few local issues that not every St. Charles County voter has. Well, we've been mailing out those sample ballots, the same thing that is seen for St. Louis County voters. And I think that's really helped voters so they know how they want to vote and what these ballot measures are. it seems 5-10 minutes for most voters. There's always somebody who's going to take a long time. But I've seen people get in and cast that ballot in a very quick manner if they know exactly how they want to vote. We have lots of voting stations at our main office and our satellite office. So the number of people filling in their ballots is not an issue for the process of the line for voters.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Tell us what you have going on tomorrow at 10, because you're inviting the public, I guess in your case, to try to say, you know, the elections, they're secure.
Yeah, so tomorrow is what we call the public test. This is a logic and accuracy test of the ballot counters that we use on Election Day. And so we have all the machines that are going to be deployed at all the polling places Election Day have been programmed, have been tested. They are sealed. They are ready to go. And so tomorrow we're going to invite the public to come, and we're going to let them pick which precincts we test. And we're going to take those ballot counters out there ready for Election Day. We're going to open them up. We're going to turn them on, and we're going to run the state authorized test deck through them, and we're going to show how, you know, this machine is accurately counting every vote cast and not counting any votes not cast. And there's a process for doing that, so we know that the machines are correctly working. And this is one of the elements of transparency in the election process that we're really working hard this year to inform voters about, so they know you can come, you can see this process, you can see that, you know, when you're ballot goes in the machine on Election Day or during this early voting, it will be accurately counted.
Yeah, well, good. And that's at 10 a.m. tomorrow where?
At the Election Authority Office at 397 Turner Boulevard.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I tell you what, Kurt Barr, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Absolutely. Good to get him on here. I know it was kind of last minute, but I texted him and he agreed to kind of explain. It's good to know that there was a little confusion out there. They're going to have somebody directing traffic there. And, you know, most people told me they were in line anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes yesterday around St. Louis County. And part of that's going to be knowing what you're voting on when you get there. We'll make the whole thing run go a lot smoother.
Yep, I agree. I think over the next number of days, though, I think things will slow down a little bit. I think there was some excitement on day one. I'm not saying you might not still encounter a line whenever we're going to vote early, but I don't know if it'd be quite like it was yesterday. That's at least my guess.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. All right, coming up, we are going to talk to our friend Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation. She joins us here every Wednesday, and I want to get her thoughts on this victory tour by Liz Cheney, who is not popular anywhere in America, particularly not in her own district where she got booted out of Congress. And yet the Harris administration thinks this is the key to finding new voters for Kamala Harris. Fascinating, isn't it? We're going to be back in just a minute.
So let's own that. Dare I say, be joyful in what we will do in the process of owning that, which is knowing that we can and will build community and coalitions and remind people that we're all in this together. Let's not let the overwhelming nature of this strip us of our strength.
Yeah. The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve, I think the message there was do not despair. We're behind in the polls. Let me give you some more word salad from Kamala Harris yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of joy. as she was talking, I was like, "Well, what is this dark moment that she's talking about?" Is she admitting that she's down in the polls?
She was sitting on a stage. She had Maria Shriver on one side of her, and Cheney, Liz Cheney, on the other side of her. And of course, the audience was not allowed to ask questions at that town hall. But Shriver had asked her about the challenges facing the country with a man like Donald Trump potentially getting in the White House again. And that was basically her answer was, you know, her word salad was do not despair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she had a record to run on, she could have touted that and said, look, here's the great alternative. But instead, she's like, the problem is the Americans are already despairing. That's the problem her is that many people look at their checkbooks and they look at the prices of things and they look at the border, and that's why they're despairing. And there are many people despair that we still got 2 weeks to go in this thing. I think that's one reason maybe you're seeing a lot of the early voting you're seeing is people are so ready for a change. And I don't think they're thinking change meaning Kamala Harris.
How effective do you really think it is to have people like Liz Cheney? Okay, obviously politician, that's her background. But then you have the Democrats, you know, bringing out Eminem on the stage. And obviously Republicans have done it, too. But that's been really big for the Democrats this election cycle.
Yeah, but you know, Kim, I feel like they do that every election cycle. They always have the majority of Hollywood on their side. They always have the majority of like the rock stars or whatever on their side. And the problem is, I just don't think that motivates a lot of people who are actually concerned about their own financial well-being, their own concern about what are their children being taught in schools are concerned. I mean, what does Eminem know about any of that? Or what is he going to do about any of that?
Right.
You might like some of his music or this or that or whatever, or, you know, think Oprah's interesting. But, you know, Oprah isn't going to solve the border crisis.
No.
And I just think people realize, like, that's not a legitimate, that's fine, that's interesting, it makes you watch TV maybe, but it doesn't make you necessarily vote for somebody.
Well, it also tells you a lot about Liz Cheney and how bitter she is at what happened to her. I don't know exactly what happened to her. She hates Donald Trump. When I saw her sitting on the stage with Kamala Harris and speaking at some of these rallies, this is all I could think about.
As somebody who is a centrist, and in one fell swoop here, he has put somebody on the ticket whose voting record in the Senate is to the left of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So I think that, you know, the American people are going to look at the substance of this. They're going to look at what she stood for in the past. They're going to look at what she said during the primary election. And it's very clear. She is a radical liberal. She's somebody that has said we ought to spend $32 trillion on Medicare for all. If you look at her record as well in California, she did, in fact, essentially ban gun sales with executive action. And she threatened during the primaries to do the same thing if she's elected.
Yeah, that's Liz Cheney 4 years ago.
Yeah, it sounds like she's making Kamala sound like a real constitutionalist, isn't she?
Yeah.
Which is exactly the reason she says you got to vote for her now, because she'll defend the Constitution. What she just said about the gun issue is a total violation of the Constitution. What we see happening on the border and not protecting it in our nation's sovereignty, that is not upholding the Constitution. I mean, I think Liz Cheney would have to go really far to prove the case that Kamala Harris is a real constitutionalist here. Look, I don't know what happened to Liz Cheney beside the fact she got Trump derangement syndrome. And I get it. Okay, she doesn't like Trump. There's plenty of people on the Republican side that he may not be their favorite person. But, you know, if you're going to vote on policy and you're going to vote on who's more conservative than the other, I think you're probably going to pull the lever for a Donald Trump. And the fact that she just kind of has lost it to the point of going out and, you know, and let's keep in mind what else she lost. She lost her House seat in Wyoming. I mean, the people of Wyoming decided you're not the one we want representing us. And Wyoming, let's remember, is a pretty conservative state.
Oh, yeah.
And they decided Liz Cheney ain't a conservative. and they decided, and that was in the Republican primary. So, you know, she lost her seat. She's lost her standing. She's really lost her platform to a great extent. And I didn't watch the whole event yesterday, but much of what I did see in the photos that came out, she didn't look like a happy person. I mean, again, talk about no. Every photo I saw was like, this is communicating downers every time I looked at it. And you're right, Maria Shriver telling the audience, we've only got pre-submitted questions here, and there's no opportunity to ask a live question. I mean, what does that communicate to people?
Right.
It's just, I mean, you can't answer a surprise question.
Yep.
Well, you've got to be fed the line.
Right, so she can prepare her answers and try to memorize them. We have about a minute and a half or so left, but another big story that I saw the Daily Signal covered, too, was the Pentagon now having to look into this leak of intelligence on Israel's retaliatory plan against Iran, right? I mean, I'm not surprised at this point that this was leaked.
No, well, I'm not either, Kim, but I mean, I'm mad about it. I mean, the fact that we have somebody in the Pentagon who's out, obviously, trying to harm Israel, is trying to help their enemy. And look, this is, you know, you can't say, oh, well, Kamala did this or Joe Biden did this, but they clearly have people in their administration, political appointees, whether, you know, likely at the Pentagon. And we know this. And when we see from their administration, they've been kind of schizo on, do we support Israel? Do we not? Do we support them? Do we not? And that's, they've got people on their staff that feel that way. And look, this thing, I mean, if you listen to an interview, a podcast that our VP of Foreign Policy at Heritage did, Victoria Coates, I think she makes a very good argument that one reason this thing has gone on and that Hamas and others have not settled and we haven't had a ceasefire is because they feel like, you know, we may have enough, being Hamas, we have enough support in the administration. Maybe we can keep this thing going. Like, if we come out strongly from Israel from the get-go, giving them support verbally and in real ways, this thing might have been over a long time ago, and a lot of hostages might be alive and might be home with their families today. But we've given – the administration has been too willy-nilly, and it's given Hamas and these groups hope that maybe they're going to be able to live this thing out, and that's a tragedy in and of itself.
It is indeed. Genevieve Wood, Heritage Foundation, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. All right, we're going to be back with Todd Pyro, Fox and Friends First, right after this.
Well, for the second week in a row after ditching us on Tuesday, it is Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First Now, joining us on a Wednesday.
Well, let me explain this one. This one was because I am a dad, okay? And I have fatherly duties that I need to attend to. You know how I've talked about how my little one got the tubes in the ears?
Yes.
By the way, an amazing surgery. So I had my tubes appointment, and the doctor only does the tubes appointments in this one office at 11 o'clock East Coast time. And so in order to do 11 o'clock East Coast time, I need to leave work at 8. And that kick, you know, I don't want to walk.
Good for you.
Especially with my inability to breathe right now. I'm still struggling with the the infection that these same friggin' children gave me. I love them, though. So let me leave work early. I didn't want to be, like, talking and trying to walk and breathe at the same time. So that's why we moved to today.
We'll accept that.
Yeah, okay. You're right about the tube thing. My grandson had it recently, in and out in like 5 minutes, and my granddaughter had it as well.
Yeah, and so this was the 6-month appointment to just double check, make sure they're still there, make sure they're good. She's growing so fast, though, like the next 6-month appointment, they may not be in there. And
right.
That's a problem because, you know, this is a 6-month period that we really want them in. It's this insanity where everybody gets sick all the time. We just had a sickness pass through the house. I will say, out of everybody, she did the best. She was like, I'm a little sick. Now I'm good. Meantime, like, I can't breathe currently while talking to you. And my wife was bad for like 2 weeks, and my oldest, the one who has the asthma, is just, you know, she's still struggling. So the tubes work in so many ways. So this is my advertisement, ear tubes. I endorse them.
So, Todd, I have to ask, the big story out of Missouri this morning, I'm interested to know if you guys have covered it up there at all today, is that the guy challenging Josh Hawley for the United States Senate accidentally wounded a television reporter yesterday. Have you heard this story?
You know what? I saw it. I didn't click on it, but I wish I had known it was your race. So wow.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the fact that I haven't heard of this guy means that the Hawley race is pretty much a lock for Josh Hawley.
He's expected. I mean, he's leading in the polls by 10 or 11 points. It wasn't expected to be really that close. But like Tim Walz, this guy felt like he needed to go out and show off his Second Amendment credibility. He is a retired service member. Maybe he still serves. I don't know. In the Guard or something. But anyway, he took Adam Kinzinger to a shooting range north of Kansas City and got out an AR-15, and they were shooting at a really short distance, like 25 yards, at metal targets. And one of the bullets from the AR-15 ricocheted and hit a television reporter in the arm. So this guy's going to have a great story today, right?
Yeah. Let's take a step back. They dodged something horrific.
Yes.
Because imagine a reporter dies on one of these stories.
Oh, God.
I mean, look, you're some local reporter making $23,000 a year.
Yeah.
You don't want to get shot and die.
Well, he's lucky it hit him in the arm and not the face.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a disaster. But stop doing these things. They either look bad or they turn out horrible for somebody, usually the candidate, but in this case, the candidate and this poor reporter.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb here, boys, and say Hawley's got this one.
Yeah, this is I have to read you what he let me see if I can find it real quick. I had it pulled up a minute ago as I was getting you on the air. Basically, what he tweeted out yesterday was, great day. This is Lucas Kuntz, the candidate. He tweeted out, great day at the range today with my friend Adam Kinzinger. We got to hang out with some union workers while exercising our freedom. Always great to have your first aid kit handy. Shrapnel can always fly when you hit a target like today, and we've got to be ready to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this a great day.
No.
I may, if this is what he considers great, all right. His judgment may be clouded. What did Holly say? Because Holly has a way with words.
Has not commented on Twitter yet, other than to just share what other people are saying about it.
Oh, I thought he was kind of trolling
him. I didn't see anything. I went straight to his feed, and I'm not seeing any posts that he's made about it yet.
This is beautiful.
I know. He's just kind of hanging back and letting other people comment on it.
God bless. I mean, what a story. I know you probably have to get rid of me. I want to talk about an anecdotal piece of evidence that I have not been able to tell anybody. This is not a joke. So yesterday I had the tubes visit, so I picked the little one up from daycare, and then I traveled 15 minutes over the river through the woods, you know, and a nice little drive, back roads. We're not talking mansions here.
Okay.
We're talking like middle America house. This could have been Missouri. You know, if I said you were in Missouri and you did this drive, you'd have said, like, yeah, it looks like Missouri. Anyway, on the drive out there, I started looking. I was like, something's weird about this. I don't see one Kamala Walls sign anywhere. And this is Connecticut.
Yeah.
Right? Trump's going to lose Connecticut, right? So on the way back, I said, I'm going to pay extra attention. I'm going to look for one, literally just one, on this 14-minute drive. Mark, God is my witness, I did not see one Harris wall sign. Not one. I'm not exactly, this isn't like a Todd, oh, he didn't see a lot. I did not see one.
So you saw a lot of Trump signs? It's not just people aren't putting out signs at all. It's just that they're not putting out Harris wall signs.
So what this tells me is that the script has been flipped. Remember, you were embarrassed to vote for Trump? I don't think that's the case anymore. I think that it has now been allowed that you can voice your support for Trump, even if you're in a state like Connecticut.
Wow.
So what's my takeaway from that? My takeaway from that is, if he can peel off the cities, not the win the cities, but peel off a few votes, I think he's going to do so well in suburbs, period, that I think if he can pluck enough off of the cities, I think he wins.
Yeah. You know, a friend of mine just got back from the East Coast, and he told me that he saw about 50-50 Trump versus Harris signs when he was in Maine and New Hampshire. If you're even seeing 50% of the signs for Trump in Maine and New Hampshire,
right,
that can't be a good sign for her.
Yeah, and look, she's going to win those states.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's the overall point.
Yeah.
Like, it's the national vibe. And in the states where it does come down to a handful of votes, you'd rather be on Trump's side right now.
Yeah.
That said, 13 days and a lot can happen. A lot can happen in a day. We saw that in July when what happened in the morning changed, you know, by the evening. So 13 of those could be informative, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do want to go back here and address this. Josh Hawley did tweet one thing last night about 10 hours ago. He tweeted, "Will Kamala condemn the gun violence today by Kuntz and Kinzinger?"
He said, "I know the Kuntz campaign needed a shot in the arm, but this is taking it a little far."
I missed that one as well. That's great, though. I'm glad he responded. Hey, Todd, we're glad your baby's doing well.
Yeah, she's crushing it.
Good.
We all should get these ear tubes. If we all got them, the world would be a healthier place, and I just think life would be better. So that's my campaign. Ear tubes for everybody when I run in 2028.
You're going to be like,
nice.
Oprah, you get ear tubes. You get ear
exactly.
tubes.
Exactly.
Pyro 2028.
And the doctor that we have is going to put him in. He's going to be very busy.
Todd, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Have a great one.
All right. See you later. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. Yeah, I don't know how. I guess I didn't go far enough down in his feed to get to the funny ones. But I'm glad that he's already out there, shot in the arm. That's the best one yet. Wow. All right, we'll see how much coverage that story gets today nationally instead of the John Kelly Trump derangement syndrome story about Trump and Hitler. We'll see how far that one goes. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. We'll be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
it's fair to say we all like to be viewed as a good person. We want people to think that we're kind. We want people to think that we're empathetic, right? But it comes to a point where that becomes toxic. And one of my favorite people to follow, Allie Beth Stuckey, who I've talked about before, host of the Relatable podcast, if you're interested, she defines toxic empathy as this whole idea where the media, the left-wing media, uses these stories, these really heart-wrenching stories where they, for example, show this illegal immigrant who's come across our border and is now suffering and doesn't have money and all of these things, and they pull at our heartstrings, and it's used to manipulate us, to make us believe something that's false and in some cases dangerous. It blinds us to the reality of the situation, and what's happening is it's causing people to want to get behind things that are not good for our country. Like, for example, if you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, I won't refer to someone by their preferred pronoun, well, somebody who says, well, you're not empathetic might say, well, if you really support people, you would address them by their preferred pronoun. Or if you really support women and their rights and all of these things, then you would understand that she's in a tough situation and she needs that abortion. They really go after the media I'm referring to. They are professionals are going after women specifically because we're the ones who typically respond to that the most.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. It a long time ago, journalism went south somewhere. What did you say they taught you about it with the three C's when you were in college?
CCC, the central compelling character. You find somebody to wrap the entire story around.
And there is an art to storytelling. You need to do that. But when you approach every story like that, or you're looking for those stories, then at some point you're an advocate, right? I mean, there's a place for that in TV news. There's a place for somebody's having a hard way to go. Like yesterday, I saw the story about the lady who had her four tickets stolen to the Usher concert. Her phone got hacked. Somebody hacked her Ticketmaster account and transferred the tickets out to somebody else. You feel bad for her. Mm-hmm. Channel 4 called Ticketmaster, and eventually she got her four tickets back, right? That's advocacy journalism the way it's supposed to be done. A TV station can step in and help. But when you do what you're talking about, playing the empathy card to make a you're taking a political point. You're taking a political side in those stories.
Right. What they're saying is in order for you to be considered empathetic, you have to affirm someone's feelings and choices. So again, that choice might be that they're a young boy and they want to become a girl, or they want the abortion. And honestly, you can't trust your feelings. They're deceptive, right? Just because I feel like I want to stab someone doesn't mean that I actually get to do that. People make a lot of decisions off their feelings. And then what you hear is they say, well, this is my truth. I'm just sharing my truth. Again, you cannot trust that. There's a lack of truth. You can tell someone the truth in love. I think Allie Beth Stuckey is spot on. She has this new book about toxic empathy. My sisters both have a copy, and they recently went to a conference that she held about this very topic. And I'd like to read this book. She says that the top five lies from progressives are that abortion is healthcare, trans women are women, love is love, no human is illegal, and social justice is justice. That specifically Christian women, they'll target on that one. Well, really all of these topics, but you hear about the point of scripture in the Bible saying, you know, if you're a Christian, then you have to get behind these social causes. You have to, Jesus calls you to fight for them. And he does, but it's misdirected. It's manipulated in the media. It's manipulated by these politicians to really target our emotions and make you want to get behind them. And they find a way to make you feel justified in it. And what's really happened in society is that people are just so morally lost. So lost. They're all over the place. The feelings are changing every day. And it's a moving target with the left.
And easily manipulated.
100%.
Yeah.
I think this is such an issue in our society, and I'm not saying I've not been. I know I've probably fallen for this.
Well, you've probably fallen for it. A lot of people may have fallen for it at first, and then maybe you caught on after a while because they've been at this a long time in classrooms, in journalism, in a lot of different ways to tear down what was so that they're not burdened by it.
Well, that's true. I don't want to be burdened by what has been. You know what I mean? Especially because I'm from a middle class family.
That's true. You got to watch it all the time. There's no doubt about that. All right. Early voting is on, and we're hoping to check in with my friend Jonathan Sary, who's been reporting on early voting where it really counts, one of the big swing states. We're going to get to that here after the top of the hour. And our friend Taylor Riggs from The Big Money Show on Fox at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.